2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now let's read that together, please. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for your love for us and how we got to celebrate and remember you today through the supper, the Lord's Supper. Now, Father, help us today to get even closer to you through the preaching of the word of God. Help us to be better for being here today. Help us to be a better, obedient Christians. God, speak to our hearts through the preaching today. And then, Father, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ, the one we've just read about, the one we observed the Lord's Supper about, that today they would trust him as their Savior. Please, Holy Spirit, fill our pastor for this task ahead in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
The book of 2 Timothy is called a pastoral epistle. It's the old preacher Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. But what you really need to know about 2 Timothy is this. It's a death row letter. Paul's sitting on death row in a place called the Mamertine prison. It's a hollowed out a bubble, as it were, in a volcanic rock right on the edge of the Forum in Rome. I've had the privilege to go and stand in that place. He's sitting there now after 13, 14 years of serving God, and he has the sentence of death. He knows, in fact, in a few chapters, he'll tell you, the time of my departure is at hand. He knows he's going to be executed, and he was. They took him out of that place and cut his head off, and the apostle met God from an executioner's block. So what he's doing in 2 Timothy is he's not only challenging this young preacher, Timothy, about what Timothy should be doing, he's reflecting in his life. He's looking back. And this great passage of verse 12, that part there that's become one of the great hymns in our hymn book, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's reflecting on his life and he's saying, I know whom I have believed. Not what, whom. I know whom I have believed. And then he said, and am persuaded that he is able. And then Paul makes a statement I think I want to look at this morning and I want us to consider that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was a committed Christian. Seems like commitment is one of those things that seems to be either lacking or misplaced a lot in society today. I found in commitment among people, there's the no commitment crowd. They don't want to get committed to anything. You couldn't get them to get committed to anything. I'm talking, they won't even join Costco. I mean, they won't commit to anything. They don't want to get committed. They want to be involved. They don't want to get involved. They don't want anything to be involved about anything. They're strictly non-committal type people. Then there are those who have misplaced commitment. Oh, they're committed to something. But they're committed to everything but what they really should be committed to. They were out there today in the rain, I guarantee you, sitting under umbrellas watching the kids play soccer. They're playing golf this morning. Like the joke about the preacher who told his church he was going to be sick on a Sunday morning, couldn't come to church. Passed the word to the deacons, they told the church. He went out and played golf. First hole. He gets up, tees up, 350-yard hole, drives it 350 yards, and it rolls right onto the green and falls into the hole, a hole in one. And up in heaven, God and Gabriel were standing there watching, and Gabriel said, Lord, why'd you let him do that? And God turned to Gabriel and said, who's he going to tell? If I miss church and I get a hole in one, I'm going to tell you anyway, okay, just because that's the way I am. I'm Never had one in one of these days. I'm talking about misplaced commitment. Oh, they are committed. They are committed to causes and organizations and things. And say, is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. It's only misplaced if it's committed to that instead of Him. Oh, they get committed, all right. I mean, they're dead sure deep involved, and that thing takes over their life. But then to try to get those people with misplaced commitment to get involved in what God wants them to do, well, then I don't really have the time. That's misplaced commitment. Then there are people with partial commitment. They're in on what God wants from their life and for their life, but they're in to the degree that they decide they're going to get involved in. They're going to, they're the like Sunday morning Christians. I'll show up on a Sunday morning. That's about it out of me. I'll go to this. I'll get involved with that. I'll do this part. I'll get involved with the Lord's work in this, or I'll do something for God. I mean, they're not going to be robbing banks and raping and maiming the public, and they're not wicked, evil, bad people, but they're just committed to the degree that they will allow themselves to be committed. But when it starts to get, you raise the commitment level of the Christian life to what the Lord calls for, they're going to be out of there like sheep leaving a storm. Or they'll be committed to their degree. And I've been pastoring this church for 30 years. Is it 30 years? 30 years this August. And it always interests me how that the involvement that people have in not just church, but to what God wants them to do. They're involved to a degree, but to the degree that they will be involved in. But see, now look at me, people, look at me. But the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's a whole commitment. That's not a partial thing. That's all the way in, as far as you can go, as deep as you can go, and as much as He paid for. Well, He paid for everything. That's the salvation I have. Then He wants a full commitment out of us. Now, a lot of churches today, they'll be happy to give you the little sermonette from the Reverend Ed who sucks on a cigarette and sends you on down the highway, and they'll be glad to, throw you a bone, and you can throw God a bone, and we'll all be happy with that kind of stuff. Those are big popular churches nowadays. She asked the Baptist church, we don't do that. We want you to understand. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus asks for the same commitment of Christians that He gave to give you the salvation you have. And it's not right for me as a preacher to not tell you He wants everything He paid for. That's what He's asking for. Because here's the reason. You say, yeah, that's because you're going to get something out of it. No, here's what's going to happen. One of these days, you and I are going to stand in front of the God of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to look at the life that we have lived. And if somebody didn't love you enough to tell you, you need to give everything He paid for to Him and give yourself fully in a committed life to Jesus Christ, you're going to stand in front of Jesus Christ and be sorely disappointed. Well, you'll still go to heaven. You don't earn your way to heaven. Salvation is a free gift, and it's paid for because Christ committed Himself to the cross and committed Himself to the payment that He made and committed Himself to death and committed Himself to the resurrection of His own body and committed Himself fully and completely for us. He did that for you and for me. That's a gift. You receive that by grace through faith and just simple trust in Christ. So there's nothing here. We're not talking about earning or deserving anything. But we are talking about something, ladies and gentlemen, that one day when we stand in front of Jesus Christ, a no commitment, misplaced commitment, partial commitment life isn't going to stand well at the judgment bar of God. Because the reward for us there is, you remember what He does? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not that you have to do what everybody else does. You just have to do your best. And this commitment issue is a big issue with people nowadays. I want us this morning to think about, listen to me. I want us this morning to think about this. To what am I committed? If you told me what you were committed to and then we took the next 7 days of your life, would it really prove that that's what you are committed to in your life? He said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now, then there is, by the way, there's one more level of commitment. It's called properly committed. That's what Paul is. I've met a bunch of Christians in my life who are committed Christians. I mean, people that amaze me in how they're committed in serving God with their life. Committed to do what God wants them to do. With an attitude of, it's not my life, it's His life. I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's. They are all the way in, Christians. They've just decided they're going to give Him what He paid for as best as they can. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, this thing about commitment to the Lord, a proper commitment to God, it doesn't really involve in you setting the standard by what someone else does. It just means you get all the way in yourself as best as you can. I'm going to be as committed to God with my life as I can possibly be. D.L. Moody was a man who in the 1800s saw 1 million people come to Christ under his preaching. 1 million people. Started a Bible college that sent out thousands of missionaries and full-time Christian workers. Saw literally dozens upon dozens of preachers that were reached in his ministry that went on to start great churches and works in their lives. A man with a less than sixth grade education, who as a young preacher was listening to Henry Morehouse, and it was Morehouse who said, the world has never seen what God could do to, through, and with a man fully committed to God. And Moody, with his quote-unquote limited education, said, if that's what it takes, I'll do that then. And he just gave himself to what God wanted him to be and do. Please understand this. I'm not talking about being missionaries, full-time Christian workers. By the way, we need more. I can't believe God is not calling more people to full-time Christian work. He must be. And I'm not talking young people. I'm talking people now, God's people. I'm not talking about ministry right now. I'm full-time work. I'm just talking about you and I today. To what are we committed today? Are you committed to anything? Have you made a life decision of, I'm going to just decide, I'm going to get in on this thing? I remember when I went to Bible college and I was in a good church and serving in that church. Listen, I was a Sunday school teacher, youth director, bus driver, trustee, and sang in the choir. So I was not just one of these casual show up guys. I was in. I was all the way in. At least I thought I was. And then when I went off to Bible college, I thought to myself, you know what? I've always kind of held a little bit in reserve, and I'm just going to go ahead and get in this thing all the way now. All the way. I'm going to give myself fully and completely to it. You know, those were very formative years in my life, and by the grace of God, for these last 35 years now, that's the way I've tried to think and try to do with my life. Not always as good as I should. Not always as fully committed as I ought to be. But I want to get to the end of my days and say, I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I'm not trying to get recognition or approval. I just want to make sure I'm fully committed at what I'm doing. Now, Christian, look at me this morning, friend. To what are you committed today? I don't commit to anything. Then you're committed to the non-committal society. It's like people who say, I'm not a follower. Then you're a follower of the non-followers. You are. I like that bumper sticker I saw one day. It said, be unique, just like everybody else. There's no way. It's like when people say, you're not supposed to judge, when in reality you're judging for people not judging. You're committed to something. How do you get properly committed, though? There it is in the verse. He said, I know whom I have believed. You need to believe some things. You've got to get some things that you believe in. And more than some things, he said, I know whom I have believed. In other words, the word commitment in the Bible here doesn't just mean to do something. It's a banking term. That means you received something and then you take and you lay it in trust or deposit it for something or someone else at a future date. So the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I received from, and now I've committed to him because of that. That's what our commitment should be. It should be based on who we know, God. Do you know Him this morning? Have you made a commitment to Jesus Christ for salvation? That's not a life now. It's not what you do. It's realizing what He has done for you. That He came and died for you and paid for your sins and gave His life to pay the amazing, incredible payment of sin debt we owe to God. And Jesus paid every bit of it. died bearing that sin and rose again 3 days later. Now he has committed to you this thing of the free gift of salvation. Have you received that gift? That's where people, I think, lack in the Christian life. They lack a commitment to give something to God because they've never received what the amazing grace of God is. Paul never got over that in his life. He never got over the fact that God loved him and God saved him and God gave him eternal life. He never got over that Damascus road where he got off the high horse of his religion and looked up into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ's presence and received Jesus as his personal Savior. After 13, 14 years of ministry, that old humpback, bug-eyed little Jew preacher man could never get over the fact that God saved him. He was given the commitment of eternal life and he said, then I've committed to him. Well, but wait a minute, it goes one more step. When he said, I know whom I have believed, he not only knew the Lord for salvation, he knew him. Philippians chapter 3 makes the great statement that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That was Paul's cry at the beginning of his ministry in Philippi. At the end of his life, he said, now I know whom I have believed. Not just that you know him as your Savior and salvation, but you know him. You know him. He's committed to you personal fellowship. Do you realize how seriously and how committed God is to walk with you in your day-to-day life? See, that's what salvation is. Salvation not only provides us salvation from hell and forgiveness of our sins and a home in heaven, it provides for us salvation. It provides for us fellowship so we can walk with him every day and spend time with him. Lester Jackman was a part of our church for many years, and he was 94, 95 when he went to heaven. He was an interesting man. At the age of 6, he walked an aisle at a Billy Sunday crusade and shook Billy Sunday's hand and accepted Christ as his Savior in that crusade. And he died when he was 96, I believe. And for almost 90 years of his life, Lester Jackman lived for God. Never married. And when I first met him and got to talking with him, and it was a horrible story, not meeting him, how I met him. He and his, he came to church with this lady, Louise Cooper. And they turned in their visitor card and they had two names on there, Louise Cooper, Lester Jackman. And I looked at the visitor's card when I saw it and I thought, old people are living together now. They got to be 90 and they're living together. This is awful. And it just for some reason hit me. So I took my wife with me, went to visit them. And I thought, I'm going to give these old people a bad time living together at 90 years old. This is unbelievable. And we sit down, and then it was his sister. And she taught Bible clubs down in the Bay Area where Louis Ramos, one of the great missionaries of our day today, she taught him as a boy. And then Lester Jackman gets saved at Billy Sunday Crusade. And I'm just sitting there watching my legs shrink up from the couch. And then the worst part is she said, Pastor, we just moved here. Sold our house. We want to give this to the church. She gave me a check for $5,000. Hey, I cashed it, bro. Let me tell you what. I'm heartless, but I ain't stupid, okay? Put it in the offering plate. And I left. My wife just looked at me like, what is wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I need a day off. This is terrible. And I asked him, Brother Lester, why did you, 90-some years old, why did you never get married? He goes, I just never had the money. I said, well, you wouldn't have had any after you got married, so what difference does it make? He said, he went and got his blood pressure checked when he was 85 or something like that, and the nurse said, your blood pressure is like a 25-year-old for a man your age. What's your secret? He goes, I've never been married. I went back to visit him later on to do some penance. Before I left, I said, Brother Lester, could we pray together? He said, sure, Pastor, I'd love to. I said, you pray. He bowed his head, and all he said was, dear God. God came in that room. 90 years of living for God, he knew God. You can't be committed to somebody you just don't know. I know whom I have believed, he said. We've got this Christianity today, I'm afraid, that's way too superficial. It's way too much about show and no go. It's way too much about what we think people think of us and impressions and everything else. And when it gets right down to it, we don't even really know the God we say we know. There's something wrong with that. And that's wherein I think a lot of people lack a proper commitment to God. He said, I know whom I have believed. That's salvation and its fellowship. Walking with God day by day in such a way that we walk with Him and He talks with us and we spend time with our God. Why could we not want to give Him everything that He asked for? You can't do it, friends. You can't do it with a churchianity. It just doesn't work. You can't do it with the superficial stuff that isn't real and genuine to you in your own life. And that's why we hold out on Him and we hold back from Him. Proper commitment comes from who you know. Knowing some things. Knowing Him. And then it said there, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. He was persuaded of some things. That's why he was so committed in his life. And am persuaded. Now, when you're persuaded of something, it means you are convinced. After a lot of people today, it seems like many Christians today, they get down the road away in their Christianity, and all of a sudden they start to drift off on things in their life. And they're not, I think to myself, what was true 30 years ago is still true today. What we are persuaded that came from the Word of God should never change in our lives and our thinking. Paul was persuaded. Now persuaded, he said, that he is able. Oh, my. See, once you know God, and you can be convinced, committed to give Him everything because you're persuaded He knows what He's doing. Or has something changed your mind about that? Well, I mean, I believe God knows what's going on, but see, there's just certain things. Excuse me. I'm persuaded. Paul said, that he is able. Been convinced. You see, look here. This idea of persuasion is a matter of trust. Commitment is really about trusting God enough to say, okay, then I'll give Him everything. I'll give Him my heart, my life. I'll just yield myself fully and completely to God. See, that's scary stuff, Pastor Johnson. Oh, I know. When I first started going back to church, I started back on Mike Johnson's terms, not God's. And I remember going to church on Sunday mornings. And by the way, I started back to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, I just got in. But I got in on the partial commitment principle. I would go to church some Sunday mornings and actually pray and say, God, please don't let the pastor preach on be fully surrendered today. Not today. I don't think I could hold out. I know that's a dumb prayer, but because here's what happens. You pray that and you know what the sermon is, don't you? Okay, you're with me. Good. And sure enough, that morning, Pastor Foster got up and Pastor Foster began to preach about how you need to surrender yourself fully and completely to God. And I said, well, God must have wanted me to hear that. During the invitation, I bowed my head and I said, okay, Lord, I'm in. You want me to do something, I'll do it. I didn't even get to the parking lot, get my hand on the car doorknob before the Sunday school superintendent came up and said, Brother Johnson, I'd like to ask you to help teach a second grade boys Sunday school class. I thought, well, that was fast. And I turned to him and I gave him a Baptist no. What's a Baptist no? I'll pray about it. That's a Baptist no. I'd already prayed about it. And I'd already said, I'll do whatever you want. And God nailed me before I got out of the parking lot. But I gave him the, I'll pray about it. Thank you. Driving home, oh, the Holy Spirit worked me over. Oh, you didn't promise. You said, I can't teach a Sunday school class. I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know what I'm doing. Wrestled with all Sunday afternoon, went back to church Sunday night, found Brother Sid, walked up to him and said, okay, I'll do it, but you got like a training class or a course or something? He goes, no. He handed him a Sunday school quarter and he goes, you're up next Sunday. Huh? It's in here? Everything I know? Yeah, just read over and get in there. I go, okay. Uh-oh. Two-page lesson, second grade boys. I read it 55 times that week, prayed over it, got to class that Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, opened my Bible. Okay, boys, boys, today we're going to talk about. These little boys looking at me. Finally, this one little boy looked at me and he goes, "You'll be okay, Mr. Johnson." I go, "Thank you, son. Pray for me." God, I'll be honest with you. To this day, if you give me a choice between preaching to adults, teens, or children, I take children in a heartbeat. I love that class. That was great. I had a great time in there. Oh, my. I found God was able if you're just willing. He's able. I found that He is able. I'm persuaded that God is able. That God is able to answer prayer, and God is able to strengthen us, and God is able to give nourishment, and God is able to give grace, and God is able to do what no one else can do. So if you know Him and you're persuaded of His ability, why not give Him what He wants? I know we all have hesitations about people and, well, I have a hard time committing myself to anything. No, you don't. You commit to all kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to God, we want to play that I don't trust anybody game. That doesn't work, and you know it, because you know He's been faithful. And you know He's been able. And you know you have been, if you've been in this thing very long, you've been persuaded how able God really is. So then he said, I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed. Oh, then, to be properly committed, you not only have to believe some things, be persuaded of some things, you have to continue your commitment. See, for some of us, giving everything to God isn't the issue. We did that once, but took it back. And now we've gone and joined the partial commitment crowd, or the I'll think about it crowd, or the other, when I get around to it, commitment crowd, guys. See, the good thing about the Apostle Paul, and he's not bragging here, he's just simply saying, I finished up as committed as I got in. Now look, folks, look, if God could take a man with a less than sixth grade education and see him win 1 million souls to Christ, and take people who just did their best to give God what he paid for and use that, don't you see what God could do with your life? Don't you understand that if you were at one time really committed, but then somebody broke your heart, one time you were really committed, and then someone let you down, then you were really committed, and then something changed that, don't you understand you need to reinvest that commitment? What he gave you is yours. Now commit it to the Lord and give it back to him. And just continue the commitment. You do it on a day-by-day basis. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. To me and what I want to be what God wants. When it becomes more about you than anything else, you need to get in that place of death to self so you can be committed to what God wants. So if I do that, Pastor Johnson, I'm not going to have any life. You're not going to have your own, but you'll have his. Now let me see. Last time I checked it, we still name our kids Paul. Yes? But then there's a great group of people who were non-committals and partial committals, and they are, oh, that's right. They just lived and died, and that was their life. And they never really gave anything to God like they should, and they never got into this thing. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We're living for that day. That day when the trump sounds and we go to meet the Lord and we stand in front of him. And did you know something? That's the day you want to be able to. No one will stand there with any sense with their thumbs in their spiritual vest talk about what they've done for God. They'll just be able to stand there and say, I didn't do everything I should, because no one has. But by the grace of God, I kept my commitment where it's supposed to be. So then, what are you committed to this morning? Let's stand our feet, please. Would you heads bowed and eyes closed?